Dude, I love LA.
Venice Beach is like my favorite place in the world. It's 41 hours from Nyack. I wrote that in my journal. I just love Venice Beach. I just love it.
It's 41 hours.
Yes.
Hey, it's Chris, and welcome to the Between Dreams podcast. This is a show where we talk to people who are doing amazing things to inspire you to get out there and do something amazing. Today's guest is a return guest, longtime friend of Between Dreams community and me and you. One of my favorite episodes from the early days of the podcast.
Yes.
Via internet connection, finally here in real life. It's Mario the Maker Magician.
Yes.
So good to see you, dude.
Yeah, man. So pumped. There's often been times when people ask me, what episode should I start with when I tell them I have a podcast? And many times, depending on who it is, especially in kind of like performer world, I almost always recommend the episode, the initial episode with you as the...
That's awesome, dude. Wow. I had a lot of fun that time, too. That was really, really great conversation.
Yeah, I loved like the... it was like so cool to hear you talk about, there was times when you just almost got like emotional because of the passion that you had for what you were doing.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
was really strong and powerful for,
always
for me to listen. I listened back to it several times. So people don't know what a maker magician is. Can you do a Cliff Notes summary of what exactly that means? Because that's a thing that doesn't exist really.
Yeah, we kind of coined this whole maker magician thing. I just love making things, and ever since I was a kid, I just loved making stuff, and now in this day and age with technology, you know, using microcontrollers, 3D design, 3D printing, you know, now you can create what you think, you know, and you can really make it at home. You know, now you could 3D print your own toy. You know, it's a powerful thing. So a maker magician, I would define it as basically I build robots that perform magic tricks and robots that fall apart on purpose to make kids laugh. that's my definition of a maker magician on my end, you know. And also there's a big thing called the maker movement, you know, that's kind of sweeping all over the world. Maker fairs. It's just an appreciation for people that work with their hands, you know, in this digital world, and kind of like, how do we use this modern technology and adapt it in a way that we can use it outside of ourselves instead of just on a tablet, you know? And there's these people that are building crazy stuff, like you know, robotic xylophones and like just amazing. Like there's a robot band that plays metal songs. Like it's there's so many powerful things that exist now with all these new technologies. And so if you've never been to a maker fair, you got to check it out. It's like in every major city, there's always a maker fair, and you can see all these cool inventions and what the maker movement is about. Yeah,
that's super cool. And I was just going to say before you said that last bit, I was like, I like the idea of this, but how would I ever get started? And you tied it up right in there. There's a community of people across the world who are doing this. You've been doing it though, went like for many years.
Yeah.
Probably on the early side where there may not have been maker fairs in every city. So how do you go from something like that where it's like, oh, I'm interested in this and I want to do this thing, but I don't see a YouTube tutorial to do it. So that would be for a lot of people, that would be like, oh, well, I don't know how to do this and I can't find a way to do it. You made the opposite decision. I don't know how to do this at first because we don't know how to do anything until we do it. And then you figured out how to do it. So how did you cross that hurdle, which was probably felt hard? And I'm sure there were times of frustration.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's times of frustration now. You know, I have this robotic side table that's driving me nuts at my house. So like I'm constantly trying to innovate. Yeah. So, I mean, it was out of desperation, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you just, you know, you know, when we get a job or something, we're doing the same thing over and over again. How do we keep it alive? How do we keep it exciting? You know, it's like you add little tweaks, you know, you add one little bit to your show, just a new routine or something that's uncomfortable. And all of a sudden the whole show becomes new again, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like when I started just dabbing just a little bit, like adding just a little robotic element to my show and watching kids react to that in a funny way. And I was like, oh my goodness, something's working, you know? And it was hard. I got into the Arduino in 2006. And I think it was 2005, I might be wrong, when the Arduino came to America, where it was like on Make Magazine, which is, so if you don't know what the Arduino is, it's this blue credit card size microcontroller that you plug into your computer and you can attach motors to it and you can make motors move without all the complicated parts of circuits, you know, like with resistors and capacitors. You could just program the motors to move. And it's a powerful tool. It only costs like $25, you know. And so anyway, I took advantage of this microcontroller and it sucked in the beginning. There was no YouTube tutorials. There was no nothing in 2006, 2007. I just kind of, and I remember I was so like wanting to succeed at this. I would have nightmare dreams of like code and stuff just like circling in like my head and like, but it was, I had a few tough shows where like I was overhearing people saying like, oh, that's Mario. That's what we came to see, you know, that kind of stuff. And it cut me real deep. And at the time, it felt like I was such a failure and like I sucked. And like, but now I look back, it was like the greatest blessing that ever came in my life. Because I took that criticism and it forced me to innovate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It forced me to innovate. It forced me to take every talent that I've gotten along the way that has nothing to do with magic. And it forced me to push that in there. What makes me me? Not thinking about what makes a great magic show. You know, and sometimes we get confused when we get, you know, a negative feedback or criticism or something like that, take it as something bad. But sometimes it's that we need something to like kind of, you know, pinch us to like kind of like, you know, get us to wake up. You know what I mean? So it was that kind of drive, because if it was just a YouTube tutorial, it would have been too easy. And I probably wouldn't have had the strength to climb the mountain to make my show what it is now with the robotics, you know. But anyway, that's the long version.
It's so cool. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And there's something in there that's so strong of that right now. YouTube to me is amazing. It's like how I know how to do everything. People ask me, well, how did you podcasts and videos and editing and all this stuff? And I'm like, I don't really know how to do anything. But if you ask me if I know how to do something, I'm like, yeah, I do.
Right.
I know that I can follow along to like a 12-year-old who knows how to do it.
No, but isn't that amazing? That look at you. Like, you have the podcast, you have the clothes, you have so many things. You're utilizing that technology in such a positive way. You know, that's what's exciting. Yeah.
Cool. And I love that. But on the other side is like so much power of where you were at that time, where it was like, oh, that, because now you are the person who's teaching it. And now you actually have the foundation of the skills and that rock that now you can actually be the person who people come to, which is amazing, because somebody has to know how to do it. It's like,
yeah, it's been fun. This is my second year like where I'm teaching magicians how to use this technology and stuff, and it's been exciting. And that's another, you know, that's another thing too, where it's like you try to stay relevant. Like, what can I do with my life today where I can challenge myself a little bit, you know, that I can grow a little bit, you know? So the teaching thing started where my good friend Charlini out in Yonkers, God bless him, he's one of the greatest human beings. He is like such a powerful children's performer too. He signed my name to the local magic club in Yonkers to do a lecture without telling me. And he got it approved by the board, okay? So he waited till all those steps were done. And then he comes over and he's like, listen, don't be mad at me. And I'm like, what happened? And he's like, you're doing a lecture for the club in Yonkers. And I'm like, what? So I would have never done magic lectures if it wasn't for like this amazing human that was like, you know what? You need that kick in the butt, you know, to push yourself to do that. And that first lecture help me travel, you know? So like, if I'm not making money doing my magic shows where we're renting theater spaces, at least I could do a lecture in that area now, because I utilize that talent because of Charlini, you know? So it's good to have friends that, you know, that help lift you up, you know?
Yeah. That's amazing. So, one of my favorite things that, about you is the world has a certain preconceived idea when they hear the two words children's magician in one sentence. Definitely. And sometimes that is not the most positive image in people's mind. Similar to comedy juggler and
right.
Other of these things that are an uphill battle, maybe, or Vinnie DiPonto is sitting over on the thing
yes,
over there.
I'm so happy Vinnie's there.
There's probably similar thoughts of when you say you're a mind reader or a mentalist or a... and there's in all of these things, there is that thing of whatever we've been thought to think about and see. And hopefully, I'll say everyone in this room, including hopefully myself, has done a really great job of saying, well, that doesn't need to be how this is. What if we make our own style of this where it's modern and hip and cool or whatever it is when it's actually not just saying, I'm going to go buy a trick for at the magic shop and read the instructions and do the thing and the kids are going to laugh. And that's a great world and that makes children happy as well. But what you're doing is creating your own personality, your own art, your own vision into these things and actually, you know, as I said, making the things from scratch, programming robots to be your assistants on stage and part of the tricks. And that's incredible.
Thank you.
So I don't really have a question attached to that.
It's scary, you know, because sometimes they don't work, you know, and sometimes, and like, it's kind of like trailblazing, you know, it's like you, you know, and even the idea of the kids' magic thing, that whole label, like children's magician, you know, people cringe, you know, especially at magic conventions, you know, a lot of people do magic for children as a stepping stone in their career rather than making their career that, you know, which is totally understandable. I get it. But I'm here to change that, you know. I believe that, like, not only is it not a stepping stone, but it's like this fundamental life skill that I feel like magicians should have because we have this small window when we perform. And listen, you know, it takes only like minutes of something that a kid can experience that they'll never forget and it'll end up becoming their career, you know, like something positive. Whether it is a great, you know, choreographed magic trick where they believe in magic for a second, whatever it is, or like a great piece of comedy that just makes a kid die laughing till they puke, you know, like those things are powerful memories, you know, and, but it's hard, you know, I've had shows this like recently where like a kid jumped on my back and ripped my vest. I had, you know, like, it was just like crazy, you know, and I've had kids that are so scared that like coming on stage and like, you don't know what to do because it's like, they're on stage, everyone's watching and you just try your best to like guide every child, you know, give them that opportunity, you know, and I get why it's a big stigma too, because a lot of these parties that you get are children's birthdays and stuff like that, where people, like, I've had adults like tap me on the shoulder, like, so when are you going to get a real job? You know, like, when are you going to go to college? But it's, you know, that's why it's exciting, you know, for me, because it's the challenge, you know, like I want to show up and be the unexpected, you know, and rock it, you know, where it's like more than a memory, you know, where it's like you're winning a battle. And I think that's with everything, just like with you, you know, just like with Vinny, like you challenge yourselves. Vinny's doing powerful things in Brooklyn. He's like creating new kinds of theater, man, you know, theater that didn't exist yet. And it was like, when he first told me the ideas of it, I was like, wait, what? How is that even possible? You mean like you only have like a small amount of people that go from room to room and do less? I've never heard of any kind of theater like this, you know? That's no way. You can't do that. How are you going to sell just a minimal amount of tickets and you're going to make your money? But it works, you know, and he's rocking it, you know. So anyway, long story short, to tie it all in, is that you have to challenge yourself. You have to take risks. And now it's great, you know. Now I have these robots that perform theater with me and make kids laugh and inspire them. You know, one of my greatest compliments was this kid from Ohio. He opened for me, and I do a trick with a bottle cap award ribbon in my show, and he came up and he's like, Mario, look! And he made his own bottle cap award ribbon, you know? Like, I'm the only magician in the world that has a bottle cap award ribbon, but now I'm not. There's this other person who, you know, has it too. And it's a great example of the spirit of what I do, is like, I like when kids think they can go home in the garbage and build a magic show. As silly as that sounds, you know, that's kind of the goal, is that it's accessible. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. And just to see one child go, like, spent a day figuring out how, like, make a thing so that they could be this, and showing that they are inspired by you enough to do that is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. We all have ways of getting our equity, you know? And I mean, like, you know, that's my equity, you know, is like, you know, what can I do in my small window of performance where I'm not forgotten, you know, where it's like kids, you know, there's something that like they latch onto that they do. And that's what keeps it going. You know, you have to find those kind of drives. But yeah, so it's been exciting. It's been exciting. We've been having a great run. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like you, this past year, you had some big, things happening and some kind of like taking things to the next level. You know, so we all start with an idea, and oftentimes, always it starts with doing small. If you're a performer, you're doing small shows for a couple of people. Yeah. If you're a musician, you're playing for your friends. If you're, you know, whatever it is, you start these really small things, and then you increase, and then it goes to this thing, and it starts to look more and more like what you imagined your dream to be when you first started. It usually takes a little bit longer, but you have been doing like massive things. You want to hit on a couple of the exciting things that happened in the past year or so.
Yeah,
and also hinting on the, maybe pair this into that is another question that I wanted to talk to you about is traveling with your family.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a thing where you created this thing where you were actually, it was awesome enough that you were able to actually travel with the family.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we had some powerful things happen the past 2 years. I perform children's magic, you know, and I got a call from David Blaine, you know, and he called me up and he said, I'm doing a party, you know, I don't do magic for children really. He's like, I heard you do it. Do you want to do a magic? Do you want to do this event with me? And I'm like, what? You know, like, I couldn't even, like, I lost my mind, you know, I was like, yes, of course, you know, I was so nervous that I was supposed to meet him at 7 at this restaurant. I showed up at 6, you know, and like, I'm standing up. And I'm like, I'm not going to sit down. I want David to see me standing up and I'm ready to rock. You know, like every detail for that moment was so key to me. And but anyway, long story short, we did the show and like David saw the heart of what I did, you know, and saw the little Marcel the monkey and the little robotic lamp, and the client, you know, really enjoyed the show. And we just, you know, he's just a great person, you know, and he gave me more work. He changed my family's life. You know, he really did. So from that, he hired me a couple times to go overseas. He hired me to go overseas once to do some magic at some schools, international school stuff. And then I got to open his show, you know, this year at Tor. He let me bring 15 kids on stage in front of 3,000 people, you know, like get a chance to, you know, introduce kids to, you know, to this big stage and do magic. And he's just a good guy, you know. He's like Charlini, like another superhuman, you know. It's almost like he's thinking like, I really like what Mario does. Come open a show at my tour. And I'm like, what? I mean, that's so generous, you know, to do something like that. And so I got to do that. It was like 2.5 months. We rented a minivan with my kids and my wife, and we followed the tour bus, you know, doing all these shows. It was insanity. Like, we're showing up to these green rooms, and my kids are running around, it's like, it was nuts, and it was crazy, but it was super magical. And it was, well, like I said, it's just another risk that, am I going to take this risk, or I'm going to say no because it's not children's magic, or like, am I going to say yes and see what I can learn from it? And yes, it was hard, but it changed my life. I faced my fears, man, you know? It's like, isn't that what life's about? It's about facing your fears. Like, everything you're scared of, right? That was that stage for me, you know? Imagine standing in front of a stage with the curtain behind you, and you have 4,000 people, and you have 15 minutes. What are you going to do, right?
Yeah.
You know? And then let alone that, you only have 15 kids.
Yeah.
And, like, these 15 kids are terrified. They don't want to stand in front of 4,000 people. How do you make them want to stand, you know? So it's like, it was this powerful, just cosmic thing, you know, like it'll never happen again. It was, but like I learned and I faced my fears, you know, so now it's like every other show is not as scary, you know, like that was like the ultimate scary thing for me, you know. And then like, what do? I come home in July and then I'm in a living room doing a birthday party and kids are throwing shoes at me. You know, like, it's like, okay, wait, I was just with David Blaine, man. Please. Do you know who I am? And this is why bands probably do drugs, and like why, like, it's because there's these highs that are so high. And then it's reality, you know? And you end up doing weddings and bar mitzvahs. I've seen successful bands do that. Like, that's part of life. It's like you have to find balance, man, you know? So through that experience, like, you know, you learn. Like, every morning I wake up and I say thank you. Everything I say thank you that I can breathe. Thank you that my fingers move, you know. Thank you that I have my family. We're healthy. I don't care. Whatever I can grasp for 10 minutes, I say thank you. You know, when you're a kid, you're just naturally happy if you have the right environment, you know. When you're an adult, you have to point to where happiness is and you got to focus on it, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't focus on it, you're not going to be happy, you know. So, like, these kind of events, like, kind of, you have to, it forces you to either find balance, you know, or you don't. And, like, so... going into that living room that week, that's why I'm saying this, is like, it was hard, you know, it was hard. Like, but then you realize and you find balance, like nobody's worthy of anything, you know? And so I'm grateful that I performed those birthday parties, because it's not about me. It's about the kid who I'm performing for that day. That's all that matters, you know? And so yeah, there's balance, man. And like, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that there is no making it, you know? Mm. You have seasons. I don't care who you are. You only have a season. You'll have that season where your name is everywhere and then it's not, you know? And then you either chase the rest of your life on the past of how your name was and get grumpy at everyone in the world, or you decide to erase that and just be grateful and lift the people that were always the ones that helped you, and then you lift the people that are coming up, you know? I was just reading about, like, the ocean with my daughter, about crabs, and if you stick them all in a bucket, they never get out of the bucket. Because when one makes it just about to the edge, another one pulls it down, man. I didn't know that. You could watch that for hours on YouTube, like a bucket with crabs. Like, they never make it out of the bucket. Why? Because people spend most of their life bringing people down when they see them coming up. But if we actually spend our time lifting people up, what's happening? We're lifting ourselves up too. We don't realize it. And I'm saying that because that's what David did for me. That's what Charlene did for me. This week I got to perform at the Magic Castle. John Armstrong wrote an email after seeing my lecture. I'll never forget that guy. Every time I see him, I think of that. He didn't have to do that. He doesn't even know me, you know? But like, those little things is what makes the world become better, right? And so these kind of experience, sorry for getting deep, Chris, you caught me on a tangent, but it's something that I have to remind myself of why life is beautiful.
Thank you. That was amazing. That was exactly the questions that I wanted to ask. Right. You answered them perfectly. And tangents are amazing. And, you know, it's so... just being around you, being excited about things and seeing that is inspiring to me. And I just, like, earlier when I said I didn't have a question attached to you creating your own thing, I was just going to say thank you for doing that, because I know how hard it is. Just like when you show, it's like, we're like, I want to perform open for David Blaine in his, these arenas, in these huge theaters. But then, like, when it happens, yeah, you're just like, no.
Right.
I wanted to say I wanted to do that.
Exactly.
Or I wanted to say I did do that.
Right, exactly. That
I don't want to be here right now.
I don't want to be here right now. Are you kidding me? I want to wait till the story chapter's ended so I can talk about the last chapter. Yeah no.
Like, I
want to
post
it.
This photo,
yes, exactly,
online, exactly, after it's done.
You mean tomorrow night I got to do it over again, you know? Yeah, no, that's, you nailed it. That's well, that's what I'm talking about, facing your fears, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why it's important. Yeah.
Amazing stuff in here. And to wrap it all up, you've already done an amazing job of inspiring people of all ages, children that you perform for, adults that you perform for, and even other performers and makers and people who want to just make things, whatever it is, whether that's making robots or making a podcast, yeah, or making YouTube tutorials to teach the rest of me how to do everything that I don't know how to do. You're part of the world who is inspiring people to make things happen, and part of the world who is being in that moment behind the curtain where the easiest thing would be to say, I'm sick, guys. I can't do this.
Right.
I need,
right,
to bail.
Yeah.
Or I never performed at the Magic Castle, which is one of the, like, highest things in the magic world. I could just... maybe I could miss this flight on purpose,
yeah,
and
yeah,
not
you
make
nailed
it out.
It.
Or,
you nailed it.
There's every single time that this happens, before I turn the camera on, every episode that I make, every video that I make, I'm like, what... what am,
yeah,
I doing? Like, it's scary and it's,
right,
terrifying. And,
yeah,
every single time this happens, but you are part of the world who says, yeah, I'd said I want to do this. Now I'm going to actually do it. Instead of saying I am scared or I'm hesitant or whatever it is, for people who are listening, we have 2 minutes left,
yeah,
to tie it up. For people who are listening, in 2 minutes, the Instagram version. what advice do you have for somebody who's standing behind that curtain and wants to run away? What advice do you have for them to stay and get through it?
What advice do I have for them to stay? Wow, that's a heavy question. All right. So there goes 30 seconds. It's not even about what advice I have them for them to stay. The advice is like, listen, we all have something unique about ourselves. You know, that's why we're alive. Mm-hmm. Every single person on this planet that is breathing right now has a specific purpose. You know, I tell that to my daughter every day when she's upset about something about reading, math, that she's alive to change the world. Her purpose is huge, you know? And so like the idea is, how do I find that purpose, right? How do I find that? It's two questions. Who am I and why am I here? You know, every single day, ask that. Who am I? Why am I here? You know? And who are you? Deep inside your gut, you have things that bring you so much joy. What are those things? I want to perform. I want to, you know, make something. I want to like learn the guitar, whatever those are. They're there for a reason. Those deep roots. I'm talking about heart of hearts. I'm not talking about just some type of, you know, surface thing. Like in my heart of hearts is like, I wanted to be a magician at some point. I couldn't sleep at night. All I thought about was magic. So I read every single book possible. You have to do that. And when it doesn't have to do with magic, when it doesn't have to do with your heart of hearts, but you have this other desire, like you want to cut hair or something, or you want to like learn how to cook, you better chase that. Because that cooking that you're learning, that little menu thing that you learn, that little meal, that somehow is going to be attached to your magic show in 5 years. If you have that desire all of a sudden, I want to change brakes for a second on my car. I don't know why, but I'm just really excited about changing brakes. Please learn how to change brakes on a car. Follow that. Even though it doesn't make any sense with your ultimate goal, whether it's going to Carnegie Hall or Lincoln Center, whatever it is. You know, someone told me once, you have to be passionate about your dreams, but you have to be flexible about the details of those dreams. You know, flexible. You know, so if it's not Carnegie Hall, you don't say no. You know, if it's learning, someone's asking that, you know, you have to like take every opportunity that comes to you, no matter what, even if it's a little birthday party, even if it's something that you're not used to, because if you take those opportunities, and that's what they are, opportunities, they're going to lead you to where you ultimately have to go. But it's up to you to take those risky opportunities, you know, and be flexible, you know. So that's what I'm saying. You know, I learned how to sew. I learned how to carve wood. You know, I learned all these life skills along the way. And I never adapted them to my magic show, but they came naturally, organically, you know, and they all came together. What am I saying? I'm still learning, you know, but the ultimate thing is that, you know, you got to just, you know, you got to face your fear. You have to, man, because there's nothing greater in the world than conquering your fear. It's not about succeeding after you conquer your fear. It's the fact that you conquered it, you know, and that's the, you know, my greatest meals at night are the ones where like I face my fear and I faced it wholeheartedly. And it's every breath is so much more powerful and every moment is so much more powerful, you know, and that's what we want. We want peace. We want happiness. So you're not going to find that unless you chase after the things that you've always wanted to do. You'll always be restless, you know? So, and there's nothing wrong with being restless, but I'm just saying you'll have some peace with that restlessness that surpasses all understanding.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Where can we find more? I'm getting you a present while I step out. Where can we find more about you?
MarioTheMagician.com. I'm on Instagram, Mario the Magician, Mario the Maker Magician, on Facebook. And thanks for listening. I know I get crazy with my tangents, man. But that's what Chris Ruggiero does. That's why he's so good at what he does.
That's what we do.
It's the subtleties.
You've been the living explanation of what Between Dreams is all about. So we got you this Between Dreams
thanks, man.
T-shirt. That's for you.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Awesome. If you want your own Between Dreams t-shirt, go to BetweenDreamsClothing.com. All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you all for listening. We are about to record another version of the episode with your wife.
Yes.
Katie, who is going to talk about a whole nother world, another side of your business. So you can check out that and the next episode. All right. Thanks for listening. That's it for now. See ya. Goodbye.